This is KWAI, Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.
Distant moaning of a train seems to play a sad refrain to the night. A rainy night in Georgia. Such a rainy night in Georgia. Lord, I believe it's raining all over the world. I feel like it's raining all over the world. How many times I wondered. It still comes out the same. No matter how you look at it or think of it, it's life, and you just got to play the game. I find me a place in a boxcar, so I take my guitar to pass some time. Late at night, and it's hard to rest. I hold your picture to my chest, and I feel fine. But it's a rainy night in Georgia. Baby, it's a rainy night in Georgia. I feel it's raining all over the world. Kinda lonely that, and it's raining all over the world. Oh, have you ever been lonely, people, and you feel that it was raining all over this man's world? You're talking about the raining, 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 raining over the world.
Good morning. Welcome to the Carol Cox Show. Glad you could join in with me here. A lovely day. Just it's like the broken record, I guess. You look out and there's another painting. And you look to the left, there's another painting. So wish you were here, those of you that are listening over in Italy and other places in Chicago. We'll be coming up online live, so you'll be getting a delay still yet, but we'll be broadcasting live here in a week or so over the internet. And there's a many of things I wanted to talk about today, and so it was a struggle. What am I going to talk about? But as I told you last week, I would have Bruce Wilson from Talk to Action, and you've heard him if you've been listening a couple of years now. We've had Bruce on, and we've talked about various things in Duke Ione and the relationship of religion, it's just coincidental that the Prowl show was discussing religion to some degree. We're going to be talking about Linda Lingle and the connection with the religious activities and what have you. I won't call it the religious right. I don't know if that would be an appropriate description. But what we will be is talking about quite a few things, and Bruce has come up, and as you know, it was the HB 444 we talked about. This isn't going to be strictly about Linda Lingle's issues on the ban or the prohibition or her stance against same-sex marriage or lesbians and what have you. We're just going to be talking about the financial part of it, as Bruce will explain. And hopefully, and I want you to go away with understanding. This is me. I stayed up front, this declaration. While both Hirono and Lingle are running, I prefer neither, personally. So don't go away telling me and calling me up. So save your ink and save the gigabytes. Don't bother to write. I would like to see the seat vacant if that was all possible, or get someone else, because Hirono would be the same as Lingle. She surrounds herself with people that they're not in touch with the general public. You can't reach her. We've contacted Hirono's office on occasion for other matters, serious, and she don't respond. She has a cadre of people to block and prevent you from getting straight answers or assistance from her office. So I don't buy her story, and I don't buy Lingle's story. So, again, that's just a disclaimer, if you could call it that. And anyway, Bruce, good morning. How are you today?
I'm fine. How are you doing, Carol?
I'm fine. If you could, for the new listeners, and many of them do recall you, can you give us a little background on Bruce Wilson and your involvement, and what do you do in Talk to Action, and how would they contact you in this?
Sure. Well, people can reach me at excuse me, I'm tripping over my own email address, but I can be reached through my website, which is www.talk2action.org. Mm-hmm. And so what I wanted to go into a bit was, well, there are a couple aspects. Mm-hmm. I was actually going to focus mainly on Linda Lingle's relationship with the Hawaii religious right, and that term would be correct. I would mm-hmm. certainly say she has a different sort of relationship than Duke Iona had. And Duke Iona was a true movement believer. He was a true soldier in the fight. Whereas Linda Lingle is more like Iona Light. So she's got one foot in the door. Lingle's relationship to the Hawaii religious right traces back really to, I'd say, the mid-90s when Miriam Helreich, I hope I'm pronouncing her name correctly, it might be Helreich, who was really, as far as I can tell, certainly one of the most important, if not the most important, Republican Party operatives in Hawaii. Helreich essentially talent scouted Linda Lingle, mm-hmm. Identified her as a potential star politician, and supported her, and was her campaign finance manager back in her, what I believe was her first run for governor back in 1998, and there was the same pattern as with Iona. She picked a guy, a Hawaii businessman named Stan Koki, who was a stalwart of the Hawaii religious right, and was considered somewhat controversial at the time, but it was the same dynamics. So you had someone who, Lingle, who was positioning herself as a moderate Republican who was running with a really hardcore culture warrior of the religious right as a lieutenant governor. Mm-hmm. So, but then, you know, moving things forward in time, well, one of the things I found was that the last time I was on your show a lot was in 2010, and I was documenting the just extensive ties between Duke Iona and the Hawaii religious right, especially this thing called the International Transformation Network, which I tied to the so-called Kill the Gays Bill in Uganda. Anyway, so Iona's connections were they were so extensive it was absurd. His denials that he was not involved in this, but Linda Lingle, on her own account, has these extensive connections. Not so extensive as Iona's, but there are a lot of them, and one of them comes straight through Miriam Helrich, who's been, as far as I can tell, the campaign finance director for all of Lingle's political races over campaigns, and also was the finance director for Duke Iona's campaign. And now she's the finance director currently for Lingle's bid for Senate. Well, Helrich, she serves on the board of this thing called Hawaiian Islands Ministries, and that's really, it turns out, it's a sort of ministry that it doesn't really look right-wing in evangelical Christian terms. It looks, if you look at the sort of conferences they hold, and Hawaiian Islands Ministries is it's a parachurch ministry. It doesn't have a it's not a church in the strict sense. It holds conferences and does other sorts of things. Anyway, if you look at the conferences, it doesn't look right wing. But then, as it turns out, as I sort of peeled back the layers, I discovered that, well, actually, in 2003, James Dobson's wife showed up and they had a ceremony praising Hawaiian Islands Ministries head Dan Chun for basically being one of the pillars of support for the Hawaii Family Foundation. And as it happens, Lingle is even, back in 2008, she participated in a big ceremony at the Aloha Stadium honoring Dan Chun for his efforts in this Hawaiian Islands Ministries, and actually proclaimed that day, it was, I think, April 4th, 2008, proclaimed it Hawaii's Hawaiian Islands Ministries Day.
Hawaiian and, you know, Island Ministries Day, huh?
Yeah, and Duke Iona was there, too, as well as a lot of the International Transformation Network gang. So, I mean, you might say that this is, well, that's symbolic, which is true, but it's an indication of sort of what factions Lingle favors. But walking things back a few years, back in 2003, you know, she got in as governor in 2002, right? So in 2003, she picks a member of Dan Chun's church to be her cabinet member for business, economic development, and tourism. So there's this insider game going on too, where it seemed like people at Dan Chun, involved with Dan Chun's church, might have an inside track in terms of access to the inner circles of government.
Right. Be the first to receive information.
I mean, and that's a whole other level. I mean, you and I have talked about the fact that Hawaii is has a very there's a lot of corruption, and this is one possible aspect of it, which is church-based corruption. Sort of amplified through government.
Right. And what I would say, I would agree with you, it's corruption, because I don't recall any, all religious groups being offered the opportunity to compete for that job or be considered. So obviously it's some special flavors involved here, right, giving them access while other groups did not get that access, just on the face value.
Oh, yeah, and other people associated with Dan Chun and his church's ministries. One of them is actually one of the directors of Dan Chun's Hawaiian Islands Ministries. He's on the board of directors. Has been Mitch Dollier, who, as it happens, has worked closely as a business partner with Francis Oda. So, and Oda and Dollier are big business players in the Hawaiian scene. So you can see how things would get mixed up very quickly in terms of conflicting loyalties, to say the least, because, you know, Idelier and Oda are designing these big development projects. I mean, Oda is a famous and extremely talented architect, and Dollier is helping to put together these development packages. And meanwhile, they've also got this inside track, because as far as I could tell, the one of the quid pro quos with Lingle is, whereas she was sort of centrist on reproductive rights issues, but in terms of gay rights, you know, she really put her foot down, and in terms of vetoing the civil unions bill. So she's giving the religious right that, but it's then there's this murkier side, given that a lot of the people that are she's working with, besides being major leaders in the Hawaii religious right, are also big business players. And so it's this, that inside track issue. I mean, when you documented that that situation that happened outside Lingle's office in 2010, when she vetoed the civil unions bill, which is a wild scene, that's with the people marching around outside of her office and blowing shofars, horns, and singing, making all this racket. Whereas the gay rights groups that were protesting in favor of the civil unions bill were not even allowed into the building. They were kept outside, and you know, there's a clear and outrageous favoritism. But that's the sort of thing I wonder about.
If I could, just so that it doesn't sound like you not living here and not knowing, you are factual, because I'm the one who documented that. While the gay community and lesbian and transgender and all had a permit to be there, while they were required to get a permit and an insurance at the state capitol, they had a permit, they complied with the law. Yet the religious factions gathered without permits, and also eyewitness the sheriff and others preventing access from the gay community to go to the fourth floor, but they allowed the religious portions of groups to go up and blow the ram's horn and pray on the wall, the doors of the governor's office, and even be allowed to go in and participate in a private prayer prior to announcing that she was going to, you know, veto that bill and not sign it or whatever. And interesting, so that, you know, Kimberly Pine was right there too. If you go to carolcox.com and Google HB444, you'll find there's Representative Kimberly Pine, who's quite religious, and I don't want to skip over her, but I just want to bring and confirm what you're saying. You go ahead, Bruce.
Sure. So that was one of the... I think if that situation had happened on the mainland in the continental U.S., there would have been a big stink about it. But Hawaii is its own thing politically, and people on the mainland don't pay all that much attention, as we know, so it didn't get, you know, a fraction of the notice it deserved in terms of what was going on, and especially because it runs so counter to perceptions of people on the mainland that of Linda Lingle being a moderate. And in some ways, I guess you could argue that she is, but it's hard to say what being a moderate means in today's Republican Party with former Senate, former congressional staffers who have worked with the party for decades in some cases, peeling off and writing books about how the party has become an apocalyptic cult. So if Lingle is a moderate, it's within that context, and she still has to play ball with the religious right powers that be, such as they are in Hawaii. Anyway, I was really surprised to find out that this church that Linda Lingle seems to pay special favor to, and he was really as much as Francis Oda's transformation crowd, we've talked about them a lot back in 2010, as well as that crowd, Dan Chun's church and Hawaiian Islands ministry has been really the main source of leadership for mm-hmm. the Hawaii Family Forum. So as is often the case with the new religious right, which is what especially interests me, things are not what they seem. So, again, you could look at something like Dan Chun's church and look sort of moderate until you really scratch the surface. So that, well, to give you an example, this October, the now head of Focus on the Family, Jim Daly, is going to be giving one of Dan Chun's Hawaiian Islands Ministries church events. That they call it Straight Talk, and they have it about once a month. So Jim Daly is showing up for Straight Talk, and he'll say whatever he says. But this is a guy who, a month or two ago on a Focus on the Family show, basically said that same-sex marriage was, in the end, a satanic agenda. Satan was behind it,
mm-hmm.
which is pretty strong. And so these are the sorts of games that the new religious right plays, is that there's this protective coloration, this camouflaging that you have to know to get underneath to see what's really going on.
Mm-hmm. You know, you shared with me that in 2002, after it was made public, Lingle gave back $3,000 campaign contribution from Howard Amundsen, or Felstead.
Yes.
Can you share what prompted her or provoked her to give it back?
Well, I think that there was, as I recall, there was a stink made about it by one of the local Hawaii church-state separation groups.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to remember the name of the guy who was involved.
Mitch Kahela?
Probably. Excuse me?
The group that filed the complaint?
Yeah.
Mitch Kahela.
Okay. That's how you pronounce his name. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Mitch Kahela. And he's been making a lot of things happen in terms of getting the legislature to stop with its sectarian prayers before sessions and so on. But that was a very good catch on his part, because Howard Amundsen he's one of the bigger and the most effective of funders on the religious right, and he's taken up, among other things, the anti-gay marriage fight as one of his special causes. So,
right.
Although that's not the only thing Amundsen does, he also has heavily funded an effort to try to break up the moderate mainline Protestant Christian denominations, the Methodist Church and the Presbyterian Church and so on.
Mm-hmm.
He's been one of the biggest financial funders of that effort, so it's not... So in that case, he's in a very real sense attacking Christianity, even though he sees himself as very much as a defender of the faith, but on his own terms. But anyway, so Howard Amundsen is someone who, obviously, because Mitch Kahela made a point of it, and Lingle dropped the donation like a hot potato, he's fairly toxic in a political sense.
Mm-hmm.
So Lingle seems to have been happy to have received the money, though that became unhappy, of course, when it was publicized.
Mm-hmm.
So there are all these indications that, I don't think that if Lingle was elected to the U.S. Senate, there would be different things going on, obviously. She wouldn't be dealing with domestic Hawaii politics in the same mm-hmm. in the same way.
Mm-hmm.
Let
me ask you, if you could, because there are so many names that are out there, and connecting the dots. If we could play a little game of sorts, I drop the name and you show the connection to the game briefly, if we could. Can we do that? Because you have a laundry list of names that I'm even impressed with the number of people that I didn't know were involved. They are so innocently on the periphery, but
right. They're right. Well, I'll do my best.
Okay, I'll just Kelly Rosati.
Yeah, Kelly Rosati was, as far as I know, she was the first director of the Hawaii Family Forum. She was a lawyer. I think she was Catholic. I'm not positive, but anyway, and she really got the ball rolling. She was the point person. I mean, obviously, Francis Oda, he founded it, so mm-hmm. She would have been in his favor. But even though he's not exactly a Catholic, but anyway. And she stayed on for a couple of years and spoke in 2007 at Danchan's Hawaii Islands Ministries leadership conference. And I should say, just I guess parenthetically, this Hawaiian Islands Ministries thing, this is a big deal. This is a big deal nationally.
Mm-hmm.
It is such a big deal that in 2005, the then head of the National Association of Evangelicals, Ted Haggard, he flew in to give a keynote speech. And Haggard was a huge deal then because the National Association of Evangelicals, it was representing somewhere between 20 and 30 million evangelicals, or claiming to represent them anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But so anyway, Kelly Rosati, she's helped establish the Hawaii Family Forum, and then so she's also showing up to speak at these sort of big tent Hawaii Islands Ministries leadership conferences,
mm-hmm.
Which are really, more than anything, that they're up. They're a religious right meet and greet,
uh-huh.
Where you know people fly in from all over the U.S. or in some cases all over the world to. Really, you know, they give their speeches, and but they also you know talk shop and strategize and mm-hmm. so on.
Now there's another name here, Wade Clark Roof.
Yeah.
That's involved in this collection of people.
He's a fairly well respected sociologist of religion, and he I was surprised to find I was trying to find I found one piece of evidence that back in 2003, James Dobson's wife, I think Linda Dobson, actually was at a ceremony where she praised Dan Chun's Hawaiian Islands Ministries for really being the Hawaii Family Forum, one of their mainstays of support. But then I poked around and found that this sociologist of religion named Wade Clark Roof, in one of his books, he said flat out that the Hawaiian Islands Ministries is one of the main sources of support for the Hawaii Family Forum. And
mm-hmm.
But he also noted that after Kelly Rosati stepped down from being the Hawaii Family Forum executive director,
mm-hmm.
then somebody from Dan Chun's own church, he runs the Hawaii First Presbyterian Church. A member of his church, she was a lawyer named Necton. It's a funny spelling, G-N-E-C-H-T-E-N or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
She stepped up to take up the executive directorship. So it was hard to put together, but eventually confirmed this pattern that, well, you know, if you want to sum up what the Hawaii Family Forum is, more than anything, it's like a co-creation of Dan Chun and Francis Oda.
Mm-hmm.
They're the two, possibly the two really big powers on the Hawaii religious right, and just so happens that Lingle's finance director, Miriam Helreich, who's always been Lingle's finance director throughout her whole career, is on Dan Chun's board. So I'm not sure what that means in national terms. You know, if Lingle were to be elected to the Senate, it might not make all that much of a difference in terms of Senate politics. It might, you never know, but it might not at all.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of the national politics, the PACs, how much money, or do you know, that the HFF is contributing to Lingle's war chest of millions, I guess? Is there, have you found any evidence of, or any reporting of Hawaii Family Forum?
I have not so far. Mm-hmm. I mean, along those lines, one of the things that I did notice that, I think this was actually, once again, precipitated by Mitch Kahele. He had a major hand in this. Basically, in the last electoral cycle, I think it was the 2010 cycle, he managed to. I think he filed a complaint with the IRS, and the Hawaii Family Forum was eventually forced to pay a fine of something on the order of, I think it was maybe $20,000 for basically illegal campaigning on the for the benefit of Duke Iona. So there's another aspect of this in which, well, there's an element of political corruption to that,
right?
Where these churches and nonprofits, which are barely supervised at all, they operate by a wholly different set of rules than you know, businesses or other entities. They're actually functioning as in a sense campaign adjuncts for
now,
people
let me,
like.
Go ahead.
Yeah,
I wanted to make a correct. I think the correct pronunciation is Kahel. But I don't know Kahel, K-A-H-A-L-E, but if he's listening or if someone call and tell him we're murdering his name. So anyway, what I stand back and look at is that while it looks so innocent and it's praising God, and which is the right of all people to, you know, serve their God and pray, but it seems like there's a concerted effort. There was Duke Iona who was going to dedicate Hawaii's people and Hawaii's language and go to some extreme measures of dedicating that to God. And then you have Linda Lingle carving a path so that the ecumenical community can get involved and have direct access. Are we being played and being set up? While it may seem innocent, there's a big population of religious people, and what I'm noticing, a lot of them in their comments to me, is that they're going to vote as God tell them to. It's no longer they're going to vote through their choices and the political concerns. They're invoking religion. So are we being set up for something that we all couldn't see?
Well, I think that when people, at least on the religious right, say that they're going to vote in accordance with God's wishes, that I tend to interpret that to mean that somebody, their pastor, or maybe they're on an email list or something, they're getting fed strong suggestions that this or that politician is on God's side.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's typically Republican, but not always. I mean, but back when in the primaries for the last governor's race in 2010, as we talked about, and the hard religious right was both backing Iona, but also Mufi Hanuman when he was running the Democratic primaries, because They Hanuman was their guy. They talked about it at the conferences.
Mm-hmm.
They said, oh, Ed Saloso said this at one of his conferences, and I believe it was 2010. He said that, oh, both Iona and Hanuman are in the kingdom, which is a euphemism of saying they're our partisans.
Mm-hmm.
So they were trying to corner the election and get two of their candidates running against each other. Didn't work, but
right.
But anyway, one of the things that, to address your question more directly, there's there's so much that goes on behind the scenes when you get someone like, you know, Lingle and Iona in the governor's seat and lieutenant governor's seat. There's this quiet favoritism that goes on, and so that, for example, I think it was Norman Sakamoto who was had a big hand in Hawaii educational policy.
Mm-hmm.
But I found there was one case where I found a public school principal at one of Ed Silvoso's conferences. This is Ed Silvoso's International Transformation Network that Duke Iona was tied to, and this principal was talking quite openly about how she was secretly working to try to insert, you know, Jesus or form of Christianity basically into the schools.
Right.
And said some quite horrendous things. So what disturbs me about this is the deceptive nature of it, so that and I don't, once again, I don't know how fully enmeshed in this Linda Lingle is, but Duke Iona was certainly fully enmeshed.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a level of deceit that goes with it.
Yeah.
Whereby even though the politicians say Iona is disclaiming any connection to these hard religious right groups,
mm-hmm.
actually they're quite on board with the agenda of placing believers in their movements in positions of influence. That they call them the seven mountains. They're mm-hmm. seven sectors of society: business, education, government, family, arts and entertainment, and so on. And so the idea is that, I mean, the religious right in the United States has never been, you know, even close to a substantial minority. People at the core of the movement, you know, it might be 10 or 15%, but not any more than that.
Mm-hmm.
So they have to play this insider game of trying to put place their people in positions of influence.
Yeah.
And obviously it hasn't worked out so well in Hawaii, but there's been a big push.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a political dimension to it too, which is that in some cases, you know, here and there, they can succeed and get one of their people in as governor or into the U.S. Senate or so on in a liberal state.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't work every electoral cycle, but it works more than you would think it would.
Right. You know, while
that can happen. Yeah.
I don't want to portray this as just a Republican thing, because there was Norman Sakamoto, Gary Okino.
Yeah. Yeah.
And who was city councilman, and there's Mufi Hanneman, and many other Democratic elected officials that were licking the SERP, so to speak, of these, and gathering around and were advocating against the same-sex issues. But again, here in Hawaii, I share with you, it gives the appearance it's us against them, those that support the same-sex marriages and those that don't, that are religious. But they won't know where to stop. Case in point, just a simple prayer in the legislature, which could have Mitch file a complaint against. They don't know when to stop. They're not self-policing. They don't know the boundaries or parameters that exist for it. It's okay to believe. It's okay to exercise your rights in religion. But at some point, when you come to the threshold of government, you can't commingle them, or you shouldn't. Because while that's speaking in theory, we go back and look to see how the organized effort was, how Linda Lingle lent her office to this process, how Duke Iona lent his office to this process of excluding certain people that supported it, and while including generally most of the religious factions that agree with them.
Yeah, I mean, to add another dimension to this, one thing to bear in mind is that the kind of evangelical Christianity that Duke Iona was associated with, or and Linda Lingle is associated with, it's far from representative of Christianity. On the whole, in fact, last year I had the luck of the opportunity to meet and talk with one of the people who engineered the current religious right as a political force. His name is obscure. His name is Colonel Vaughn Doner, and he was just one of the people who operated in the background during the 80s and 90s and mm-hmm. helped get Reagan and so on. And well, he's decided now that things have gone way too far, and he just wrote a book called Christian Jihad, Neo-Evangelicals and the Polarization of America. Mm-hmm. And he told me that he had a lot of regrets in terms of what he had done, because he realized that things are getting really crazy. And at the center of his book was the evangelical faction that was behind Sarah Palin, which is so far out there that you know, dyed-in-the-wool Christian fundamentalists were aghast, because they knew what her tendency was. This is the tendency that claims to cast out demons and hunt witches, and you don't see that that much. You have to know the movement to understand how that agenda gets played out. But mm-hmm. anyway, this is a really extreme minority faction within Christianity, and Duke Iona was really glued at the hip to it. Mm-hmm. And Lingle is associated with it too, so it's not, you know, it's not mainstream Catholicism. You know, Catholicism, the Catholic Church is conservative, yeah, but this is very different from mainstream Catholicism, or you know, the Methodist Church or the Lutheran Church or the Presbyterian Church and so on. It's far out there. Mm-hmm. In theological terms, it's really as close to a full-blown heresy as you can mm-hmm. get in Christian theological terms. And so when people in the movement make sort of set up a public howling about how Christianity is being persecuted, if people challenge them, it's good to keep in mind that a good number of Christians and evangelical Christians are aghast mm-hmm. At this movement too, mm-hmm. which has a name, by the way. It's called the New Apostolic Reformation, but I don't want to get into theological stuff too much, except to say that this is considered very, very radical within the history of Orthodox Christianity.
Right. You know, Bruce, one of the things that I when we spoke last week in discussing this, and I thought, let me do a little research, and I get an idea that while we're all focused on this debate about same-sex marriage, but then you look, these entities or individuals or these organizations or this movement is willing to get into the lives of just everyday women, the normal life of women,
yeah.
telling them they're... So, you know, I had to think for a moment. This isn't... They've caught us off guard, so to speak, and they're organized, and they're having access, and Linda Lingle is going to go to Washington, as she think, and she's going to take all of these people and paving a way so that the issues of birth control, the issues of surgery, all of those things that impact or infect women. She has a cadre of people that have already schemed and have rehearsed it on the same-sex issues. So we really, I believe, in looking at this from a broader standpoint, and I believe we have a lot to worry about, or especially women.
Oh, sure. I mean, it's hard to imagine what would happen, for example, if in terms of reproductive rights issues, were the Republican Party to take the Senate and the presidency, we'd have people like Todd Akin commanding the agenda. And I don't think Linda Lingle would be fully there. She'd be dragging her heels a little bit, but she would split the difference, I think. And ultimately she would wind up voting in favor of some, sometimes voting in favor of severe anti-reproductive rights legislation, and maybe occasionally against it, but all in all, she would probably advance the agenda nonetheless, the religious rights agenda, that is.
These are the people that are paying her way to Washington, many of them donating, and so I just can't see her coming to her senses and saying, well, now the elections is over, I'm going to go up and do the right thing and vote my conscience rather than the verses or passages from the Bible. I'm going to vote what's right for the people. I don't know if she can make...
Sure. Well, as a politician, she's young. And so if she gets in the Senate, she could anticipate being there for 2, 3, 4, who knows how many four-year periods as a senator. So, and she's a very smart politician, so... really, she could have an enormous impact.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she is.
And also, it's useful for the Republican Party always to have a few of those people around because they can still say, "Oh, well, we're not all like Todd Akin. There's Linda Lingle.
Yeah,
she's a bit more moderate. But at any rate, as you've expressed, you're not thrilled with." You're thrilled with neither candidate, but I think that there are some distinctions to be made that, that Lingle is, her entire political career has been propelled and shaped by this grand secret bargain she's made with the Hawaii religious right, and we don't know all the details, you know, what the actual arrangements are, but it's clear that more than any other force, that they put her in power as a governor.
Right. Well, one of the things that's clear, we can draw a conclusion, or I can. We know that it's El Voso International Transformation Network. We know what their plans are. We know what drives them. We know they're anti-gay. We know they would like to be in the bedrooms dictating if they could get away with it, when you have sex and even when you think about sex with that group. Duke Iona was going to deliver all things to God in Hawaii. We know that. We know that Francis Oder and the Hawaii Family Forum, we know what they're about. So the three of them, and there are others, it's not coincidental, and this is why I personally took an interest in this with Lingle. You cannot, if one of them had access to Lingle, I would say, okay, it's a flaw. Two, I become concerned. But when three, four, and five of them have direct access and influence, she's not a politician any longer. She becomes an evangelist for them, and it is what really bothers me. It's no coincidence, or it's not an accident that these people, and Marion Heilrich, you go back to that. Lingle has no real experience in family matters. She has no kids. She was married. But all of these things raises interest. But when you have this band of and this collection of people, I think it's safe to say or jump to the or draw the conclusion that we should be worried about Linda Lingle leaving here and going abroad to represent women and all other people, to be fair, without placing God over it.
Sure. Taking the overview, it just raises the question in my mind that Lingle, Hawaii voters just don't necessarily know what they're getting with Lingle, because there's this sort of covert aspect of her political life, whereby she's benefited from this strategic alliance with the religious right, but we just don't know fully what that meant, even when she was governor. In other words, you know, you could probably, it's been my experience that so much goes on behind the scenes, you could probably have, I could probably have a dozen research assistants digging into this stuff, and they would not find the half of it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way it tends to go. I mean, there are stories that I wrote you know, about something going on at the state level in some state, you know, back in 2008, and never came out with it. Nobody knows, you know, one whole aspect going on at the whole state level in terms of how this religious right agenda plays out very quietly. But whenever you get a governor in who has these sorts of strategic alliances with the religious right or is a true believer, this stuff happens very quietly and mm-hmm. usually doesn't get into the media.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, you know, we're coming down at the end of the hour, but real quickly, anything you want to close with, or you got a 2 minutes or so. I don't want to take that time. Go ahead, and if you think you have anything, closer, Bruce.
Well, I guess what resonates in my mind, or something to leave your audience with, is just the idea of Linda Lingle getting up with Duke Iona and proclaiming April 4th, 2008, to be Hawaiian Islands Ministries Day. You know, it's at once absurd, but it's also very exclusionary.
Mm-hmm.
It was like Lingle and Iona had declared a personal holiday for Dan Chun's church and his ministry. So that's a symbolic. You could say it's just symbolic, but it symbolizes the relationship whereby you have this one ministry. It's not even a church. It's sort of an ecumenical parachurch ministry that is really pushing the Hawaii Family Forum.
Right.
So it looks, it doesn't look as jagged. You know, were you to be at that ceremony, it would not seem like it would have any relationship to the Hawaii Family Forum, but the relationship is direct.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that leads to, you know, that what you witnessed outside Linda Lingle's office, whereby, you know, in gay rights terms, it was sort of the playing out of a Jim Crow situation, whereby mm-hmm. gay people in favor of civil marriage were second class citizens for that period of time of that protest.
Yeah. Yeah. What I witnessed that day, Linda Lingle's ticket. I simply view her in a light that I wouldn't want to disclose how, but I tell you what, to see the violations that occurred and the willingness to discriminate openly in a government facility, and that was it. Whatever she runs for, I'm going to be the one watching, because I'm really concerned, because next thing it'll be, round chubby guys will be prohibited from doing certain things or whatever. You just never know, because the religious right seem to have commandeered the reins and they drive her. And I really believe that. I don't really know much of her policies and can say that she drew the conclusions herself. I believe it's always been surrounded. She has been surrounded by people that want to protect her while they're advancing their cause.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yes.
Anyway, let's talk some more on another date if you'd like to keep us posted.
Well, sure, I'd love to.
You know, the distance makes a difference.
I'll be coming out with a story on Lingle this coming week.
Okay, well, give me a call when you produce it and publish it. Let me know. We'll talk again. I always enjoy it.
Okay, great. Yeah, thanks very much for having me on. I really appreciate
okay.
it. And hello again to all your Hawaii listeners.
All right, and talktoaction.net, correct?
Yes, correct. Yeah. .org, excuse me.
.org, www.talktoaction.org, and that's Bruce Wilson.
Yep, correct.
Okay, thank you, Bruce. I appreciate
thank you
calling in. Thank you. Aloha.
Sure, okay. Bye-bye.
right after the news on KWAI Honolulu, K108.
Well, I done got old. Can't do the things I used to do. Cause I'm an old man. I can't walk like I used to. I can't love like I used to. And now things done changed. And I done got old. I can't do the things I used to do because I'm an old man. I'm an old man. I'm an old man. I'm an old man. And I'm not the same. I'm a very old man.
It's time for the Carol Cox Show on K108, heard every Sunday from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. If you have questions for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080.
Okay, welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. I'm sure many of you, what is he playing? Well, last week we had a caller in and he said, well, what if I lose my mind, or if a person loses their mind and absentee ballot. And I always like to inject a little humor, and I just thought, well, that would be good. And also, I got my technician here, Francis, who I kind of dedicated to him, too. I'm noticing he's getting a little gray. But anyway, that was a little poke. But one of the things I was thinking, again, about voting. Now, I had asked the state elections office. They got back to me after the fact and went kicking and screaming. And I don't know if they're going to call in today, but they told me, well, yes, we, regarding the question of the blind being assisted in the machines and what have you, I asked them if they could call in and explain that. And I just got to tell you, it's disgusting. The person that I talked to said, well, that's not my shop. Call this guy. Call that guy. Well, I'm not used to talking and doing presentations, so you and I are left alone. And they say they will have someone at the voting booth to help you if you're blind or whatever, but they will set up a give a talk to a group of people if you'd like to have it done, but then didn't give me any phone numbers to provide you, didn't give me any names, so there you have it. That's the voting climate here in Hawaii. When the voting office, while they're not doing what they do in Texas, they keep you out of the voting booth because they don't want to talk, they don't want to train you, they don't want to. They believe that we're bothering them, apparently. So, and then this voting thing regarding the gentleman that last had the question about what if a person lost their mind and would be voting, and that's stuck. It's a rather salient point and something to consider. And then after getting past it, well, should you be voting if you have mental capacity, you can't pass a test? And what is the test? So, you know, imagine if you ask the guy, is he willing, is he too old to vote or has he lost his mind and is he willing to give up his right to vote? He's going to say, man, you must be out of your mind. So I don't know. That's the way it is. But I'm going to. I want you to hear something because I'm so into this voting thing, and I see the game now. We need to vote. Period. Anybody you know that's a voting age and can legally vote, you need to get them out there. And I'm going to play a piece here in a bit to just think it's time to fill the airwaves. We don't hear anything from the local NAACP or encouraging. So the national NAACP, there was a conference and there was a minister there that gave a talk, and Pastor Barbara, I think. And what I'll do is play that later. I'll get this call and we'll see. Good morning, caller. You have a comment or question?
Just a comment on these people out of mind to vote. Here's after elections, seems a lot of the voters are out of their mind.
Thank you. How so? Well, guys, anyway, this is, don't take it personal or anything. The idea is that we're at a crisis here because the very last thing that we say, of the people, for the people, by the people, and then we are taxed to fund these offices, to be efficient, and to grease the wheel of voting machines and do all of that and make it accessible. But when you have an agency, state agency, we see what happened on the Big Island with that craziness. And then this guy, Scott Ango, just absolutely, I would rather call to order fast food than call the state elections office again. I'm telling you, they're not, we need to regroup and make an assessment and maybe either elect the elected official, the elections office head, or something. Because right now, they don't feel like they are in the mood. But I'm just going to play this, and those of you find it entertaining, fine. But it's time to inject a little salt in the wound and crank things up here. We're coming close to elections, and I just want to provoke people. And having said all that, I'll play this and we'll be back shortly. This is the Carol Cox Show.
Good morning, NAACP. We certainly thank God for his grace, and to our chair who has called us to be the face of hope, our president and CEO who has charged us to remind ourselves that there are more with us than there are against us. To all the members of the National Political Action Committee, and to all of the members of the staff, and to our vice chair and this convention chairman. Why are we here this morning in this plenary and not in a workshop on voting rights? In the testimonial circle of my faith tradition, The saints often declare, if we ever needed the Lord, we sure do need him now. I want to, in the tradition of the hip-hop tradition, sample from that faith tradition and say, if we ever needed to vote, we sure do need to vote now. For us, the right to vote is not just a constitutional matter, but a right born out of struggle, out of sacrifice, and a gift from the God of justice, who 2,600 years ago had his prophet say to every nation, you must do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly before your God. And 2,000 years ago had his son say that the least of these must be at the center of public policy. Think for a moment where we are in the time in which we're in, and you will understand why, if we never, ever needed to vote, we sure do need to vote now. Here we are today, Sister Dukes, 393 years since the first ship landed in Virginia to bring slaves. Here we are, Sister Coleman, where 242 years ago, Crispus Attucks was the first African-American to die fighting for this country. 236 years since the signing of the Declaration of Independence. 225 years since the Constitution was adopted. 225 years since we were fractionized in that Constitution and called three-fifths of a person. 183 years since Mexico outlawed slavery, and 176 years since Texas revolted because they wanted to keep their slaves. 163 years since Harriet Tubman escaped slavery. 160 years since Frederick Douglass, since somebody just quoted him, actually delivered in his... Actually delivered in his 4th of July speech that America's July 4th celebrations were fraud, bombast, hypocrisy until America did right by the sons and daughters of slaves. 149 years since the signing of the Emancipation Proclamation. 147 years since the end of the Civil War. 142 years since the ratification of the 15th Amendment. 118 years since the riots of Wilmington, North Carolina to stop black political power. 108 years since the riots in Springfield, Illinois. 68 years since Smith versus Allwright opened up primaries for black people. 68 years since Primus King was denied the right to vote in Georgia in a primary. 58 years since Brown versus Board of Education. 57 years since the brutal murder of Emmett Till. 52 years since the sittings in Greensboro organized by A&T and Bennett students. 46 years after Robert Jordan was the first African-American to sit in the Texas Senate. 48 years since Fannie Lou Hamer said, there comes a time when you get sick and tired of being sick and tired. 51 years since Dr. King said to the AFL-CIO that the only voting bloc that could transform America would be for blacks and labor and poor whites and Latinos to learn how to work together. 49 years since the murder of Mega Evers. 49 years since the March on Washington. 49 years since the bombing of four girls in a Birmingham church. 48 years since the signing of the Civil Rights Act. 47 years since Bloody Sunday. 47 years since the Voting Rights Act. 47 years since Malcolm X was killed. 44 years since students at South Carolina State were massacred. 44 years since the assassination of Martin Luther King. 44 years since the signing of the Fair Housing Act. 43 years since conservatives dismantled the Office of Economic Opportunity. 43 years since my parents fought to integrate public schools. 3 years since a Barack, whose name means praise the Lord, was sworn in to be president of these United States. 8 years since James Johnson was wrongly incarcerated. 6 years since John Menier was wrongfully incarcerated. 1 year since Troy Davis was murdered by the state. 4 months and 11 days since the shooting of Trayvon Martin. 4 months since the secret documents revealed by the National Organization on Marriage that they started the same-sex marriage fight, not for moral reasons, but to split the black and LGBT community in order to defeat President Obama. We have been through too much and seen too much and fought for too much if we ever needed to vote. That's why you're here.
But there's one more piece. Not only have we been through too much, there's still too much to fight. 27.4% of African Americans in poverty. 12 million children, red, yellow, black, and white, in poverty. 27 million Americans unemployed. 14% of African Americans unemployed. 49 million of Americans uninsured. One out of every five African Americans uninsured. 1 million African Americans incarcerated. Politicians can say, elect me, and I'll take your health care. Elect me, and I'll take your voting rights. Elect me, and I'll take your Social Security. Elect me, and I'll resegregate your public schools. Elect me, and I'll ignore your poverty and still get votes. Here we are. 22 million Americans, African Americans, eligible to vote. And yet 8 million didn't vote. 1% of the population controls 42% of the wealth. 10% of the population controls 93% of the wealth. 117 days until election day. And across this nation, the tough times, we've seen an implosion of our economy. Despite the evidence, there are those who want to give pity to billionaires and inflict more pain on the poor. We see politicians that pander to bigots and race baiting, those who've been forced to get on welfare. Never in history has so much money been spent to resist equality. The gross sums of money being spent to take us backwards is lewd, it's pornographic, it's blatant, and it's arrogant. These are troubling times. Corporations are treated like people. People are treated like things. Banks get bailouts from loans with our money with no interest, and then the banks turn around and lend us our money back to us with interest. These are critical times. And if we ever needed to vote, we sure do need to vote now. I don't know if Republicans are going to show up. I don't know if Democrats are going to show up. But the sons and daughters of slaves, we better the hell show up. That's why we're here. Our parents did more with less than we have today. With less, they beat slavery. With less, they beat Jim Crow. With less, they beat lynching. With less, they beat the KKK. With less, Harriet Tubman got 500 slaves out of slavery. She didn't have email. She didn't have text, Facebook. She didn't have cell. She didn't have texting. She didn't even know what Twitter was. She didn't have a car, but she had faith in God. A 38 pistol on her side. Moss on the north side of a tree. And a north star in the middle of the night. She did more with less. We must do more with more. So from now until November, email everybody you know. Tell them to show up. Because if we ever needed to vote, we sure do need to vote now. Text everybody, tell them to show up. MySpace everybody, tell them to show up. Take some of them friends you don't need to have off Facebook and get some real friends up there. Tell them to show up. Call everybody you know. Knock on everybody's door. I don't know how to tweet, but my children and daughter can tweet. So I told them to tweet, 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 tweet everybody you know. Because God is not going to do for us what we can do for ourselves. We ever needed to vote, we sure need to vote now. And when we do, Leon, what we're supposed to do, God will show up. God will bless our efforts. He's always has. He always will. When we work our faith, miracles and movements. Faith is what you believe about God. Works is what you do because of what you believe about God. Faith without works is destitute and devoid. But faith with works is dynamic and can change your destiny. Whenever we work our faith, God shows up. When Moses stretched out his rod, God showed up. The wind came down. The Red Sea opened up. Pharaoh was brought down. When they marched around Jericho, God showed up. Walls fell down. When David threw the rock, God showed up. Goliath came down. When Daniel went in the lion's den, God showed up. The lions calmed down. When Esther went to see the king, God showed up. Evil plans were turned around. When a woman touched the hem of his garment, God showed up. Blood disease slowed down. When a boy gave the Lord fish, five loaves, God showed up. And a buffet came down. When Jesus went to the cross, God showed up. Satan's kingdom was torn down. Early Sunday morning, resurrection happened. And the angels had a Holy Ghost throwdown. When Thurgood Marshall Jimbone went to Supreme Court, God showed up. And America's segregation was brought down. When Rosa Parks sat down, God showed up. Jim Crow had to step down. If we vote, the Tea Party will be voted down. Every time we put our faith and our works together, evil is shut down. God shows up. I got a question for the NAACP. Do I have a witness? Won't God show up? Won't God show up? Won't God show up? What's in your hands? What's in your hands? Use what you got. God will give you what you need. Won't he show up? Won't he show up? If I was in North Carolina, I'd say, say yeah, say yeah, say yeah, 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 yeah. Now tell your neighbor, 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 if we ever needed to vote, we sure enough, sure enough, sure enough need to vote right now.
Okay. That was the Reverend William Barber. He gave this speech at NAACP in North Carolina this year. And I play that. I could have edited it at the end, but I'll let you listen to it. And again, it's that message that is of concern, talking about voting and what we need to do. We really, for whatever your reasons are, but when you're deprived of your vote and you don't have access or you're not encouraged, there's things need to change. Good morning, caller. You have a comment or question?
Hi, Carol. That was an awesome thing you played. It brought me to tears. But, if you heard this Cornel West and Travis Smiley, they're going on a poverty tour this mm-hmm. week, mm-hmm. and to try and get it publicized mm-hmm. for a presidential candidate. Because mm-hmm. one thing you don't hear about poverty. You hear about the middle class, but you don't hear about the poverty class. You know,
mm-hmm.
and they're trying to get it so that at least it shows up in the debates. Because any comments that seem to be coming through, that, well, I think Rodney said something like, "Oh, well, the poor, they're covered. They got their safety net. They don't need our help, you know." And, I mean, this is one of our biggest problems. And like he was saying, one of the biggest problems is because these disenfranchised people aren't voting, or for whatever reason, you know, mm-hmm. and mostly because they are disenfranchised and they haven't had a chance to really get,
yeah.
They're just too busy trying to survive that they don't, it's hard for them to to do it. But that is so important, because that's why things are the kind of the way they are, because they don't have a great say in things.
A solution could be the actual candidates, those that have won, need to also do some outreach themselves rather than being concerned with staying in. They, in this state especially, but as I say, I think status quo, why change it and infuse new thought or new people when you run the risk of those people voting you out? So that's what I suspect.
That's the thing, you know. And I mean, poor people are very romantic, you know. And of course, the main thing, they don't have the power. They don't have the economic power to even contribute. So.
Right. Well, yeah, but they can still vote. I don't think the voting rights is weighed on. And that's what's so unique, why the emphasis should be placed on voting and preserving that. You really don't need money to vote.
Right.
You may be poor, and you may only pull your pants up one day out of the year, but that one day should be the day that you look forward to doing it. And I've often said a family should cherish and preserve that right to vote. Put it on the mantle and say, this, we're going to protect this. This is our family jewels, so to speak. But anyway, let me get this other caller, and thank you.
To end this, you know, we are the many, too. You know, we are the, I mean, the votes are bigger than the money, you know.
Right.
I mean, we do have the majority. You know, so that's what we have in our favor, which cross our fingers.
All right. Well, thank you, brother.
Yeah, you take it easy.
Aloha.
Aloha.
Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller. You have a comment or question?
Oh, yes. Good morning, Carol.
Good morning.
I have a comment about Lieutenant Governor Iona.
Mm-hmm.
When he ran, you know, of course, ran for governor, but I said I could never vote for him because he had 8 years to look for Peter Boy Kimma. We never know what happened to that little boy, if he was, Auntie had him in, locked in the basement, or if he was killed. The children said he could even be in the backyard buried,
mm-hmm.
and that the wife, you know, didn't say anything. And Iona had access, as he had been a judge, had access to the courts. He knew how they operated. He could have brought that father over here and made him tell us where Peter Boy Kimma was.
Mm-hmm.
And that hurts me to think that he's still out there someplace.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you. I don't know what Iona could, in the comment about making him tell us, constitutional rights, but I, too, am dismayed that it just disappeared into the never-never land on that issue. And there are many other situations such as that. And that brings me to this point. I was going to play you something else, but I'm going to hold off, and you can pick that up at carolcox.com. It's Apple and Verizon has a situation where they sell you, like for myself, I have an iPad, and the carrier is Verizon. And I'm going to be very brief. Verizon has informed me, and some of you may be experiencing this, that if you pay in advance, they limit you to the number of antennas you can receive any data from. But if you sign a contract, you're on all of the antennas. So that is a big problem, and I have about a 25-minute tape of this gentleman just laying it on the line. And so if any of you out there have had this problem, Apple tries to sneak out of it, and they won't do anything and want to focus on, well, if the iPad was damaged or what have you, when in fact it works, but it's just that they're not willing to live up to it. So anyway, carolcox.com, carolcox.com, and maybe I'm going to post that up online, and then you can hear it. If I have time, I'll play some of it. But anyway, but back to that subject. This brings me to this. I think Peter Boy, I was thinking about him the other day when you saw maybe on TV, there was playgrounds out in Maile, Miley, that were torn down. And the story is that they're on state housing land. The state housing authority owns the land, manages the houses. And this is Miley 1, it's called. The Everpoint Realty Company, who was managing it maybe a month or two ago, took it upon themselves to dismantle and cut them down and tear up the playgrounds. And I'm informed some were installed on 7 years ago. But anyway, what this is about is that children, the parents now, are noticing the children are coughing and are ill with similar bronchial issues and breathing issues. And they all played in those piles of rubber and other materials that were left there. And there's iron pipes and jagged edges. And you can also see that at carolcox.com. We posted some of that. But this family, when they called one of the parents, Don Clark, they had called Action Line, and Action Line told them to call me. And so we go over and make an assessment, and I see what was going on. But what does this have to do with voting? The caller mentioned disenfranchisement. Here's the problem. In this state, whether you're Republican or Democrat, the Democrats equally will project on you some of the most bigoted, discriminatory policies that you could experience at the hand of any other party. And in this case, for a state agency to allow, and now I spoke to Hakeem, the manager, the director, the state director, and I believe him, and I truly believe in my heart of hearts he's a good man. He will do the right thing, and he did the right thing in this situation. But he wasn't apprised of it. But going one step down, how is it that you can tear down four playgrounds on state land, yet you were not authorized, as we were informed later, to tear them down? You remove the metal and salvage it and sell it for scrap metal. And you leave the chemicals and the rubber and the hazards there so the children can continue to play. The manager, the current manager, was as rude. I'll call him the rude dude. And this is Louis Falafini from Realty Lao A. And he is the new management. Now, here's the problem. I witnessed him. You want to talk about a chauvinist or the behavior, what he displayed with the people, the women there, most of them women that were calling up, and was unbelievable. Now, someone has suggested to this gentleman that the people in this housing complex is not of value to the politicians. They are dependents, and therefore they should be treated differently, as if they're nothing. You don't have to give them the human respect, or you don't have to treat them with dignity. I say that, and that's my conclusion. But if there was someone that had spoken a different instruction and created a different climate, that this gentleman would know that they would not tolerate abusive language, things that one would find to be an affront to them. But the way this happened suggests to me that once you're in the public housing, you're seen as a dependent. You're not seen as an American. You're not seen as a woman. You're not seen as a child. What you're seen as a dependent of the state. And so, therefore, the state has set up these agencies void of dignity, void of sensitivity, and simply manage these people. They didn't cut these playgrounds down. So you would think at some point there would have been an effort immediately. The immediate response would have been call the families together and inquire if the children have been sick, and then apologize because they've left these playgrounds for some month and a half or so. Or August 1st, they say they started cutting them down. But we didn't get that. And I use this example is to say, not just in the voting booth, or not just in the process of voting, systemically, the state and federal agencies, I believe, and I can conclude that what I have observed on numerous occasions, that anything to do with public agencies, you are automatically going to divest yourself, or they're going to divest you of any human dignity. You won't have any rights. Yet, the agreement is you pay your rent, and as long as you're paying your rent and up and good, there shouldn't be any problems. But they left these edges out there, and the metal, and the children would play, and their hands would be black, the feet would be black, the nose would be black, they're breathing in this. And I know what some of you will say, well, where were the parents? Well, then I would say, that's a good question. Where were they? Well, they were there and calling and complaining, but nobody was listening. And as one woman of mother conveyed to me, that when she brought it to their attention, the management, they told her, call someone that cares. And then she did. So she called me. And like many of you out there, we don't believe that we're becoming a socialist government. We believe that it's okay to care about children. We believe that some of us fell on bad times. Some of us just didn't have it. Some of us, there could be anything, an illness that caused you to be poor. Or you could be born into poverty. And I know what you're going to say. Well, they should have more birth control. Well, I know a lot of people that have money that should have used birth control. But that's just my nasty opinion there. But again, across the board, here in this state called Hawaii, we talk about how Texas deprive and fraud people, and we talk about Florida, how we defraud people of their rights and their votes and people of color, specifically the African-American in Florida and Texas and what have you. But right here, all hues, it's about the dollar. Our Democratic Party is about the dollar. Our Republican Party is about the dollar. We have no representation. A man with a pocket bulging with dollars will get the attention of the governor and all others in government. But a man whose pocket is deflated and looking hungry is not a man in their eyes. And that's not just my opinion. That's my assessment. And in time and time and time again, we see this environmental injustice. There's absolutely no way that these children and the parents have to come out of pocket, who already strapped for cash, got to come out of pocket and take their children to the emergency room and get medicine and get care. And they have to pay for it. Yet this problem is connected with the negligence on the part of the management of that facility. So I believe that this group of people, and because it's low income, I think that the Democratic Party needs to look internally and look at itself and ask these questions. How is it that we have this bargain? We give you our trust, and then after that we can't trust you to do what's right by us. And I say this Democratic Party because the Republican Party has very little to say, and you could call them for the next 10 years, the handful of them that are here. And, you know, with them singing that song that we're socialists and Marxists and we welfare state, you know, we already know where they are. But the biggest lie being told is the Democratic Party, the ones that's supposed to be protecting us. No way. No matter what the politics is, children, and I mean children, small cakeys, young, still developing, susceptible to anything, bacteria, chemicals in the works, are allowed to rummage and play on a pile of rubble, and nobody in the management system, no one, in the state housing, obviously they run a loose ship. And to go further, after the families, after I convinced the parents, they were all afraid. I mean, it's painful to see this, and I try and share it with you. You imagine your child is sick, and there are several of you that have children that are sick, and you think it's connected to this pile or these piles of rubble. And even if they didn't go and play on the piles, they're situated within feet, 12 feet of the houses in some. So either way, the wind would blow, and you could see the dust and the black soot and what have you from this. So you have these parents there, and they are attempting to complain, and no one, listen, no one. And you have this problem, and you call this, when they called me, we go out, the gentleman is rude to me, and the following day, I convince them, look, if you come forward, I will stand behind you, and I will do the legwork, and I assure you, I'll drop everything that I'm doing. You have a right to stand up and speak up and seek medical care for your children. That's shameful when you have to recruit people because they know that tomorrow morning, and as it did happen, that manager, after they spoke on and went on TV, that manager was there photographing the cars and the license plates, starting up his harassment machine. So, you know, a lot of us say, well, they're poor and they're there because they want to be there. Well, the little children, they were there, and I can assure you, with the snotty noses and the runny noses and the mucus dripping and the coughing and their chest hurting, I don't think they chose that. But it all culminates or comes from the negligence, the non-caring attitude that is being, we see displayed by this Democratic Party. Their fathers, whom work for various companies that are either union and can work sometimes, why don't everyone say people first, party second? But I guess they get the peas mixed up. And so the bottom line is, unless we see something done to correct this, unless we see measures and things put in place to prevent such treatment and some maintenance pull on this, we're going to see it get worse before it get better. And this thing, as we played the first hour talking about Lingle and the religious right and all, and when you look at this, it's really a sad occasion, just yesterday, to when you think about it. Everyone cares. We talk about the Aloha spirit. But when it comes to people that have nothing, there's no Aloha. They're struggling. And when they experience an injustice, they still have to struggle. The people that come there, a lady said, well, you know, where are the parents? And why? It's not that question to ask. Where is the government agency? Where are their values? And you look at this whole process, and nothing to do about if they have money and they care or they should be ignored and what have you. I'll just submit this. There's a huge propane tank sitting there at the facility, at the housing. And they used to run off propane, and they've since stopped using that. But before that, the propane tank would be filled, And generally, the rules are you have to put a brick wall between the propane tank and any dwelling. And it has to be situated a distance. Well, you go over there and you look, and there's this humongous propane tank sitting maybe 20 feet from the units. And no wall. So I guess you can ignore the safety rules if they don't have any money. I guess the director and his predecessors can ignore that because we're managing people who have no dignity. And I guess that there's a new development occurring right across the fence from that. And the rules are, and generally, if you have dirt that you're stockpiling, it has to be at least, if it's two, you put a 2 feet, foot black cloth. But if it exceeds that, you have to be able to cover the height of that. But instead, in this community, there's a 2 foot one, and the piles are about 6 feet high, blowing right into the houses. And you stand there, and I filmed it, and you could see the dust flowing right into the houses. No water trucks or anything in this development coming by to spray. How could that happen? Once again, they have no money, so therefore they're not a human being. They're poor people, and they are the children of the Democratic Party because they're under their watch. That we see these horrible situations duplicating themselves over and over and over in these throughout the islands here. So when people say, well, you know, the Democrats have been in power, let me tell you something. They've been in power, and we have trusted them with too much power. We need to look to the right, to the left, in the middle, and do something about this because there is absolutely no way what I witnessed the other day should ever take place in this state. Not when we all, whatever the event, if there's a new plane that goes to New York, we send a hula group and we send flowers and we send a basket of aloha. And then when there's another event, you come here, we put a lei around your neck. And then we do all those things, and we advertise, and we tell people to come to see the love in the air and see the beauty. But then we're committing such sinister acts as ignoring and exposing children. And this isn't the first one. There are many of them. Pu'u Vai Momi housing, the mercury that we talked about a while back, where the children found the mercury, brought it back, started eating the mercury, breathing it, painting themselves, putting their burritos in, putting the mercury in their burritos and eating it. I know what you'll say. What dumb kids? No, what dumb adults that would leave it and not clean it up? So what this is about, it's an assessment, it's an opportunity, all of us, not only just voting. Let's stop falling victim to shaking the hand and kissing the baby and then run off and take a sign and put in your front yard and say, he's all right, she's all right, I'm voting for her. Let's task them with demonstrating. Let's task them, all of them, with walking into their, when they convene their meetings, whether it's the legislators or city council, whether it's a director of an agency or an employee. Let's task them with showing a little love or showing that you care or just doing your darn job. Let's task them with that. I see more guys standing around one hole looking down in it while one guy's down in the hole digging. Yet, that's disrespectful because when you display that behavior, you're saying to the taxpayer, no problem. We don't really have your interests at hand. We need nine people to dig a hole. So this thing with the children, and I'm not defending the parents. I don't know their status other than they live in the housing. But what I witnessed the other day is a continuation, an extension of the mindset that our politicians, and primarily the Democrats, I mean, the Republicans, what I've found is, you know, they're seeking God and they want to defeat Obama and do whatever. You can't, you know, you approach them, you might get, they're already whistling, we're anti-socialism and what have you, so no need. But the Democrats, you know, that is something wrong. The Caranawana, where are you? How can in a community under your watch allow this behavior? It's a state agency. Miley Shimabukuro, Senator, where are you? How can it happen under your watch? Daniel Inouye is not the only thing you're to serve. You have to serve the people. They come first. Politics and pork come second. And, yeah, they may get a little trickle down, but I assure you, we need to change what it is that we're doing and how we're treating people. If we can tell the big lie about aloha and tell the world we love one another and we love you, start sharing a little love with the little children here. The Peter boy. Nobody's upset. We should convene a special investigative task force just to look at that, because if it happened once, guarantee you it has happened before and probably continues to happen. It's enough to cause alarm, but again, what you do is that you hire someone and you tell him, go take care of the lightweight, shut those families up, threaten them. If they speak out again and go on TV, we'll evict them. We'll go and document them. They didn't cut their lawn. The curtains are too short. Or the child screams, or the dog poops on the ground, or the grass, or you didn't cut your grass. This is the kind of harassment that these communities, the public housings, have to experience. Managed by tyrants. People that go and cut down playgrounds and leave them while not thinking about how they're going to be replaced, when they're going to be replaced. So anyway, it's a sad story and don't want to depress you. So we'll see you next week and thank you for listening.
Thank you for tuning in to the Carol Cox Show, heard every Sunday mornings from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. right here on K108. Tune in again next time for the Carol Cox Show, right here at KWAI Honolulu. It's probably